Hello, welcome to another episode. Today I want to talk about motivation and productivity, and not necessarily in the sense of you must always be doing something, but to me, the interrelation between motivation and productivity. I found it difficult sometimes, if I'm honest with myself, that I'm not always that motivated to do certain things. And it's not that I can't do them. Sometimes I don't have the correct attitude to bring when I'm wanting to be productive. So I want to discuss how I have been attempting to break that procrastination when it comes down to working and being artistic. So a lot of these things will not necessarily pertain to my workflow as much as releasing an art block or design block, in how I try to overcome doing these things. And it can be difficult, it can be trying, and I'm fully aware of that. But I really wanted to hone in on what are those things that's keeping me from working and being effective in my workflow, and how can I overcome those. And these are key things that I typically have implemented over the past year or so, but there's one new thing in here that I'm really stoked to talk about. But anyway, so for starters, I have body doubling. I didn't know that was what it was called until I was watching someone on YouTube talk about body doubling. Typically, when I hop on YouTube, I'm watching a lot of artistic vlogs or sewing vlogs or just kind of like daily life ones, but they motivate me to get up and be productive. So I'll oftentimes put them on when I am wanting to work, but I don't have the motivation to get up and be productive. So a lot of these things will kind of kick start my patch making. So I'll get up and I'll hear the hum of the machine. It's not really a hum, it's actually pretty loud. But as I'm watching or listening to, because I don't always have my eyes, of course, on the television or the screen or whatever I'm watching, it acts as if it's an accountability partner for me to want to get motivated. And it's almost like a Pavlovian response. As soon as I like put some of these people on, my feet get active and I start to shuffle around my workspace and move towards working. To go along with body doubling, I also encourage having accountability partners. And I know so many of us are kind of spread across different places, and it may be difficult to have a physical partner available at all times. But one of the things that has happened to me actually pretty recently is an online friend that I've been sharing clips with back and forth over the past, over the past few months, I suppose, reached out to me and talked about being accountability partners. And that's actually happened to me pretty often over the past years. I've had people reach out to me online and say like, hey, do you want to maybe work together? Or there are people that I'm friends with online who often hold Zoom calls or Zoom parties. And not only do they do that, I've also hosted them. I've hosted them when I was in grad school, and they're actually pretty productive and they're pretty effective. I've been a part of many of them over the years, and I will say that even for the small amount of time, there have been some from 45 minutes to upwards of 2 and 3 hours. And the amount of time that you have there where you are fully immersed into the thing that you need to work on, to have that time dedicated really does help get work done. Not to sound like a broken record here, but I found that I can shut my brain off to the outside world and I can focus on the thing that I need, the task that I have at hand, but I also have people that I can bounce my ideas off of whilst I'm in the midst of doing the thing, whether that be writing. There have been times that I've needed to write my dissertation or write other articles or other research articles, or there are creative things that I've done as well. I needed to get vision boards done, which I just started doing last year, which is crazy because I've always done mood boards and they're just the same thing in my opinion. Or at least a very similar format. Let me say that. But these things have honestly helped me turn my brain off to a lot of the distractions that I face. And a lot of those distractions are self-inflicted, but still, it helps me to be able to ideate on the thing that I need done in that particular moment that I want to get done. So I encourage you, if you have a Zoom or a Google Meet or Microsoft Teams or whatever other platform there is for video hosting or, you know, video conferencing, I encourage you to do like a watch party kind of a thing and watch your friends or your acquaintances or whatever you call them, to watch them ideate what they need to work on. It's a beautiful process. I've also started putting on what I call calming music. And that to me is music that does not particularly arouse me to want to dance. But it's music that soothes my soul. Ambient music, if you will. Music that will help the racing thoughts that I have on in my mind and usher me into productivity or usher me into the tasks that I need to do. I like jazz a lot. I really like jazz, and I found Jazztronica, I believe it is, Jazztronica Essentials, I want to say, is the playlist on Apple Music, and it's that kind of like funky 90s jazz. I can't even explain it, but it's the jazz that takes like 40s and 50s jazz and then updates it with other bass lines and drum lines and all of this. I started playing it yesterday for the first time in months, and I immediately was just crocheting away. There's a sweater that I've been working on since last September, October, I can't remember. And I had only gotten it halfway done, and I was just looking at it and saying to myself, I really need to finish this sweater. It's cold. It's cold across the United States in almost every state. I need this sweater. And before you know it, I finished the front half. Most of the front half. And I got started on the back upper half. And all I have to do is finish the neck of the back and then do sleeves. So I got really into gear when I put on this calming music. There's a lot of playlists that I have like called chill music. I'm not one to listen to a whole lot of rousing music if I can help it while I'm trying to work. So this is definitely assisted in the process to get me into gear. And I want to mention right now that none of these things on this list are in any particular order, and you don't have to do them at all. You don't have to do them together. You can kind of do them as you please. I do at least. And it just depends on what it is that I'm trying to do, if I will employ any of or all of these particular techniques. So thirdly, I have planning. I am a person that believes in writing. I think I've mentioned this in a previous podcast about writing down the thing and writing the vision and making it plain so that, you know, you have something that you can look at. And it's a way to be self-accountable. Well, if I've written this thing to be due on this day of this month, then I have to do it. Now, I will say the self-sabotaging part of me will come in and erase that deadline and not make me work towards the goal that I have. But I am working on that, hence this list, hence me writing it, saying it, getting it out of my hands so that I have to hold myself accountable for the things and I'm not self-sabotaging the thing that I want to do. But I write I write a lot of my important things and even motivations in my planner, but it's something about seeing an entire spread across the page. So that is chiefly the thing that I look for. And I think the more colorful I can make it, the more that it will stand out to me. And I'll, not that I have a photographic memory at all, but if I know that I wrote something in a particular color, if I'm trying to recall something while I'm not near my planner, it will stand out to me and I'll be able to see it in my mind's eye. So that's another way of holding myself accountable, because if I do these things when I'm not around the thing that I need to be around to remember, I'll somehow also remember it. To go along with planners, I also love Notion. I use Notion. I haven't started one for this year, but Notion was my best friend when it came to grad school. I organized things that I had to teach, so the classes that I was teaching as well as the classes that I was taking. The draft to my dissertation is in there, like the bare bones. This is my research plan. Well, at least my chapter 3, I want to say, is in my Notion, and I just dragged and dropped and filled in the places that I need to. But Notion has seriously been my best friend when it comes to productivity. I can drop things in there like quotes. I like Bible scriptures, so I will oftentimes head up any of my boards with, or my notebooks or my tabs, or I'm not really sure what you call them, but my workspaces oftentimes have motivating scriptures as well as motivating quotes from other people, so that I can go forth and do the work that I need to do. Can I just say, I love Notion. I love Notion. I've tried other formats and I don't think they work as well to me as Notion does. It's just chef's kiss. I even have my very detailed workout planner in there that breaks down the different types of cardio and strengthening exercises. It's insane. Just gonna be honest with you. We also have reading related texts. So whether that's websites, blogs, journal articles, magazines, books, whatever media you're into that you like to consume, I find that if I read things that are kind of related to the thing that I want to do, or I don't even want to say the thing that I want to do. Well, I guess that suffices. So for example, if I am embarking on a new quilt piece that I'm thinking about, I'll read books that maybe delve into the history of quilting. And I like to do books that are not exactly the thing that I want to do, because if I do, I don't want to make it seem like I'm copying anyone's work that they poured themselves into. I want my thing to be as authentic as I can. And I know life is full of a lot of borrowing and appreciation across the board, but I like to try to keep my thought process as untainted. Not in as in they're tainting, but just in an unbothered state, so that my ideas come through and I can filter out what other people have done. I want to have appreciation for them in that light. Or if I know I'm about to start working on a new journal article, I'll read theoretical books that underpin the thing or undergird the thing that I am getting to the heart of. If I am into crocheting in the moment, My favorite any kind of book, particularly a craft book or vintage ones, to me, they have so much information in them. And so whenever I'm at thrift stores, I'm constantly looking to grow my catalog of vintage craft books, because they'll tell you how to build a house. They will tell you how to build a house, you know, if you find the right one. And they are very thorough and still succinct. Now, I must admit, some of the techniques I do need a little assistance on, because the drawing was not that sophisticated in today's terms. It was sophisticated for theirs, I'm sure. But outside of that, they really help. So I love reading. So that kind of goes hand in hand with the thing that I need done in the moment. An interesting thing I also found here lately, and you all are probably going to raise, if not one eyebrow, both eyebrows when I say this, but forgiving has definitely opened up a space to be able to produce more. Like, I have found that in recent times, forgiving has been a burden lifted from my art block. And it's insane to me. But let me just say this. I don't think that I've never not forgiven people. Now, I will admit that when I was younger, I used to pride myself on being a grudge-holding individual. And I grew out of that by the time I was in my teens. But that's every kid, right? So I think by the time I hit 16, I said to myself, like, hey, this isn't working. You know, we don't need to hold grudges against people. It doesn't matter. Let that shit go. So I did. I stopped holding grudges against people, but I still hid what they did to me in my heart. So that has led me through like really abusive relationships, bad friendships, still holding on to like the betrayal, I suppose it is, the betrayal and the misuse and abuse of these friendships I've held on to and just have kind of been like, you know, I forgive this person, but I know how they are, so I'm not really sure like about their friendship, or I can't ever trust that individual again or whatnot. And while all of that is true, it's been a journey to get to the point of not thinking, like, I don't want that to fully occupy my mind, I guess is what I'm saying. While I don't think that those friendships will be the same or those relationships will ever be the same, and they don't have to be because you're allowed to grow and other people are allowed to grow. I think one of the key relationships I thought about here of late is like one of my best friends. We've fallen out more times than I can count, and it's usually about the same time every year. And we've kind of remedied that, and we haven't fallen out in quite some time. And I think I've expected every relationship to go like that, where, yeah, we've had our issues and then we link back together, no problem. But seeing that that is not the model that every relationship takes, and it shouldn't be. Some people aren't. You're not allowed to go with everybody wherever they go, and they're not allowed to go with you wherever you go. But I say all that to say, I've already forgiven a person, but I think I released it. Maybe that's what I'm saying. I sat down months ago and I just said out loud the people's names that occupied my hurt, and I released them. I released me from their hold, and I released me from their hold, because I also found that these people that we had these kind of like toxic, and I don't like to call myself toxic because I don't think I am, but I suppose this toxic friction was that person hurt me, but I was still occupying this person's mind enough for them to like hit me up whenever they felt like. And I didn't want that anymore. So I needed to make space in my brain. I need to make space in my brain for the places that I'm going, the thoughts that I'm thinking, the crafts that I want to create. And I couldn't do that if I was holding on to the memory of hurt that was led by someone else. And so, like I said, months ago, I was reading a book called Yes Sisters by Angelia White, and she said something that made me want to do this practice. She wrote something along the lines, I'm not going to get it perfect, but it said, forgiveness means that you are no longer a victim, but a survivor. And I loved that she said that. It opened up so many eyes in my head for me. It opened up so many doors for me when I read that part. I think I even wrote it in my journal because it was such a profound statement that I didn't want to be a victim anymore. I didn't want to be a victim to trauma. Who does? I wanted to be a survivor. I don't even know if I wanted to be that. I just want to be a person well and healed, right? You go through therapy, you do all these things, but nobody teaches you how to fully forgive. And it was at that moment the gates opened and I saw it clearly what I needed to do. And I sat there. Gosh, it was October, November. Heck, I don't even remember. It may have been September. But I just remember sitting on my bed and I just called out these names and I said, you know, I forgive you and I release you from my anger, from my trauma, from my hurt. You deserve better and so do I. And that was the recipe that like kicked my imagination into hyperdrive, because afterwards I was, not only was I drawing things or redesigning things or just like had a full gust of motivation, but I also had a new revived spirit for myself, where I told myself I deserved better. I wasn't the self-deprecating. And don't get me wrong, those things will happen on occasion. But I wasn't as self-deprecating, where I was just like, oh no, I don't deserve to put my art out. Oh no, I don't deserve this or I don't deserve that. It was as if God breathed a new fresh breath into my lungs and gave me a completely new attitude, because I had released those people. And I opened up, you know, so much in my creativity when that happened. I pulled out my serger and I dusted it off. And I was just like, I am going to sew. I have 3 degrees in fashion design. I am going to sew myself something because I have not in a while. And then I was like, I am going to crochet, because there are a couple of things that I need to finish that I've put down and have not had the motivation to complete. And I've crocheted myself damn near an entire wardrobe. And I have come up to the last portion of it. And I'm like, no, I'm not going to finish this. Well, I'm saying to myself now, yes, I am going to finish this because I have a newfound motivation. And so I'm able to see that the things that I got 90%, 70% finished with, I'm able to go back and revisit them. And I say to myself, I am not starting another project until I get these underway. I am not buying another stitch of yarn until I get these done. I am not going into Hobby Lobby and buying any more fabric until I use up the fabric that I have right now. And I tell you, it has been chef's kiss for my productivity. I will also say, and I'm probably going to end on this note, that one of the other big contributors of motivation and productivity, two of them, I'm going to end on two. One of them is related to reading related text. Let's find a good podcast. one of my favorite podcasts is Therapy for Black Girls. I really enjoy listening to the guests that are on, to the different topics that are talked about whenever they pop up. And even the TBG, the Black Therapy for Black Girls University, how it got me through my last leg of my dissertation. It got me through my last leg of PhD, where she was talking about graduating well or finding a good school or whatever the case may have been. It was so helpful to have that pouring back into me. I often find that I'll listen to artistic, arts-based podcasts, or mostly just kind of like therapeutic ones that may incorporate breath work. And my last one is proper rest. I find myself to be sometimes insomniac, not always, but there are times where I just can't sleep. And I've had to transform my habits or reform my habits so that I can sleep at night and not just scroll. So my phone will, I can program my phone to turn off automatically at a certain time at night and turn back on at a certain time. If I can get my iPad to do that, we'll be completely on board. But I've turned my phone, trained my phone or programmed my phone to turn off at like 11 or something like that so that I'm in bed before then. And it won't turn back on until 5, 6 o'clock in the morning. Putting screen times on things. I have productive focus hours on my phone so that the distracting apps that I don't use or that I like to use are not available to me so that I can work for an hour and a half. That kind of goes hand in hand with my Zoom thing. And I also like to have books beside my bed so that at night I'm winding down, hopefully I'm winding down with a book. And if I'm tired enough, I'll fall asleep reading the book. But it still is telling me or triggering my mind to say, this is rest mode. We are 10 seconds from shutdown. So let's do the things to prepare us for that. Now, if I could just get off of TikTok, which I just reinstated my screen time for TikTok. So I think we're going to be okay. But if you've made it this far, I appreciate you. And thank you so much for listening and tuning in again. Have a wonderful day. Bye.